minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. There was a hum in my ear, Colfax. It's gone now. I don't know what it was, but you remember like those old video game consoles? You just blow on it, and then it goes away, and you put it back in the video game, and you're good to go. That's I think that's what happened right there. How are we doing, Broncos country? Denver finds a way. Wow. How about that? We even survived Fitz magic. Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in for Tua. And it was, let me just say this. This defense, I've been saying it for several weeks, this defense is good. This defense is very good. But you're asking them physically and mentally to do things that, you know, throughout the course of a game, it just wears you down. And you started to see that trend again to start the game. What happened the first two possessions? You have Drew Lock throw an interception. And then the second possession, you go three and out. And that's where it starts. You see a defense continue to play well. But over time, it wears them down. So you can see, you know, why this defense starts to wear down early in the game. Late in the game, third quarter. But the Broncos find a way to do it. 20-13, they get their fourth win of the season. There is a lot to talk about when it comes down to this one. This was a great day overall. But it started much like every single game in that four we did. Remember the four-game test rule, Colfax? I actually don't think we learned anything new. I think it's about where we are, because we saw Drew Lock play pretty horrible through several quarters of games, but he beat the Chargers. Fourth quarter comebacks account for a hell of a lot more than most quarters, right? Falcons was rough, but he had a decent fourth. Raiders was awful. You're going to give him an F there. I think you're going to give him a B here against this Miami team. I mean, the first two possessions, it was Broncos country. Here we go again. You know, Denver defense forced a three and out. Broncos get it. Two plays. Third play was an interception and a bad throw. Then Miami took that. Should have been an interception by Justin Simmons, but they called pass interference on A.J. Boye. That was not at all pass interference, but whatever. Miami scores a touchdown. Think about that. If they don't call that a touchdown, and I get it, if they do call that an interception, maybe Miami doesn't score a touchdown. That's how Denver defense allowed 13 points to a Miami team that won five in a row, including wins over Arizona and the Los Angeles Rams. Two decent football teams. Better than decent football teams. But again, it was what was happening in this game, Colfax. More of the same in the first two possessions. You throw the interception, touchdown, then the Broncos go three and out, and you're thinking, uh-oh, Drew Lock is bad, folks. That's what you thought. Well, Denver defense does their thing again. Three plays, 4 yards. Now, that touchdown, that first touchdown by Denver, was looking again like the first two possessions. Bad run, bad throw, third and long, and KJ Hamler. I want you to pay attention to KJ Hamler. He is going to turn into be Mr. Reliable. He gets the big third down conversion, and I want to say from there, the rest is history. Denver moved the ball the rest of the way down the field throughout the game, even when they didn't score. Probably, yes, they should have had another touchdown. Broncos country is very bad at Melvin Gordon. But Colfax, I said something on Friday, and I don't know. Can we go back to the tape here? Colfax, let's go. If they don't run the ball more than 15 times in this game to Philip Lindsay, they lose. Simple. If they do, I think they win. I said it. It said it, Colfax. I said it. If they do not run the ball more than 15 times to Philip Lindsay, how many carries did Philip Lindsay have in this football game? He had 16 carries for 82 yards. Melvin Gordon, 15 carries for 84 yards. Two touchdowns. Should have been a third. 189 yards combined. Add Drew Lock's 23 in there. That is how you win football games, ladies and gentlemen. Pat Shurmur, you learned something, hopefully, on Sunday. You ran the ball a couple of times. Philip Lindsay had a couple of carries. Gordon had a couple of carries. It wasn't great to start, but the more you go, the better it is. The better it is for this offensive line, the better it is for this rushing attack. And there you go. The proof is in the pudding. 189 yards, 33 carries between the two of them. Add Drew Lock's two, 31 carries between the two of them. That's what I like to see. That was picture perfect. And everything else followed suit. When you run the ball, when you commit to running the ball, good things are going to happen. I liked a lot about this game. I liked a lot about what I saw from Drew Lock. He got in this mode of rolling out again, rolling out to the left even, rolling out to the right, wasn't making things happen. He slowed down in that third possession. Once he got that third down conversion, so critical for Drew Lock, I think, to have a nice completion. I'm talking solid, crisp, open completion, middle of the field in that first possession or two. Because I think that opens him up. I think his confidence really starts to spill over. So I think that is something Denver needs to really work on. Because once he completed that to KJ Hamler, I felt like it was all downhill from there. I mean, they were rolling downhill. It was easy for them for the most part. 20-13. You had the fumble, you had the interception. Those two led to, the fumble by Melvin Gordon. I mean, if he scores instead of fumbles, the game's over. But instead, Fitzmagic comes in, and you got 99 yards. You have that to go, man. I mean, what was it, about 99? 98? I mean, you thought it was going to happen. But Justin Simmons comes up with a huge play, too. So we got a lot to bust into. Time of possession was critical in this game. And the reason is it was tight, but Denver wins time of possession. They haven't been doing that. They won time of possession barely, but still, that meant you were running the ball. Third down efficiency, 4 of 12, wasn't perfect. Miami, 7 of 16. But again, a lot of those, two of them right off the bat, early, and that's a lot of times where Denver found themselves in holes because they couldn't do it in the first, they couldn't do it in the second. And maybe you're down by a touchdown at the half and another quick touchdown by the opposing team and you're in a tough spot. Overall, it was one of those complete team victories. I think you have to be happy with what you saw. First Advantage, text line 31996, 31996. you said, Chris, fit a green jacket for, oh, fit a gold. Okay, sorry, meant gold, wrong sport. Fit a gold one for Drew Lock. The four-game test, what do you give him in four games? What do you say he had in the Chargers game? C? C-minus? Because he won. Fourth quarter comeback, like I said. It's like you were failing all year, but you aced the final. What happens if you have a failing grade, but you ace the final? Does that raise you up all the way to a C? Could. So let's say you got a C-minus in that Chargers game. Atlanta. Probably more like a D plus to C minus. Against the Raiders, F. Against Miami, a B. So he's right now, I mean, he's kind of a C quarterback, isn't he? We didn't learn much more, but he did. The important thing is, Colfax, for now, for 2020, he did not fail. He's going up against the Saints team that, wow, Taysom Hill. That's fun to watch. I don't think it's sustainable, but that's fun to watch. Eastside Chris says, Brady, talk me off the ledge. We are a farm club for the Yankees, Dodgers, somewhat for the Red Sox, too. Oh, yeah, you're talking about the whole Nolan Arenado thing? Yeah, that's probably going to happen. As far as talking off the ledge about the Rockies, boy, I don't know. Jeff Breidich. No, I mean, is there a Rockies fan that wants Jeff Breidich in town? Think about how promising his career started with the Rockies as far as general manager, once he became general manager. Was really good. But he's letting guys go time after time. Not great with the media. And then treated his superstar pretty poorly this last year. So until Jeff Breidich is gone, I don't see anything really happening for the Rockies. He's worse than Elway. I mean, Elway's had his moments at least. He's going to have a moment coming up, Colfax. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Go answer this one. thewholeshow.com, and you only can pick one. Don't play the silly games with me, Hooligans. I'm asking you a pointed question. You can only choose one. Which player would you sign to a long-term deal? Justin Simmons, who had the game-saving, interception. Philip Lindsay, who I think Broncos country can agree, it is a crime every time this man does not carry the ball more than 10, 11, 12 times. Or the surprise of the century, Garrett Bowles. He is playing like an amazing left tackle. He was awesome yesterday. I'm watching the polling left tackle plays, and he's bulldozing over people. Bulldozing. Ha. That's when you know you've arrived. You get a nickname like that. He's always had the athletic ability. Has Munchak helped him that much? All right, so who are you signing? Now, yes, I know. Hooligans, I'm gonna help you before you even get there. You want to sign them all. You can only pick one. Because, I mean, come on. Has the history of John Elway with key players, has it, when they're young like this, has he proven that he's going to do the right thing? Or does he wait too long? Did he wait too long with Justin Simmons? Maybe Simmons is already looking at it as a slight and wants out. He's on the tag. You can tag him twice. Philip Lindsay, you have him next year if the Broncos, you know, he's on the team option. So you do have him next year. Maybe you just you take that and you hope that that's enough that in that year you can earn his admiration. I don't know. Garrett Bowles, do you trust him? That's going to be the big question. So who are you going with? Let's see where the Hooligans are on this. This will be fun to see how this one ends up because I do think this is a tough one. Even with Garrett Bowles thrown in the mix because he is playing so great. And how important is a left tackle in the NFL? 50% of the Hooligans say Justin Simmons. 30% say Garrett Bowles. And then 20% sitting at Philip Lindsay. So go vote at thewholeshow.com. Let's see where you guys end up when this is all said and done. 18 minutes after the hour. Got a lot to get to today. Hey, it's Thanksgiving week. I know it's a weird time in our world yet again with shutdowns and everything, but think about folks during Thanksgiving. We're talking turkeys coming up with Weston Edmonds of World Food Bank. If you guys can spare anything, even if it's cash, pop by, credit card cash, donate a turkey. Weld Food Bank could use it, and they always do right around this time, and the community always steps up. So we're going to be talking to Weston coming up. Do want to remind you folks, again, On the Rocks Liquor, Thanksgiving's coming up. It's going to be different probably for everybody. So maybe stop by, pick up something that cheers you up a little bit while you watch three NFL football games and a CSU game, I hope, on Thursday. This week's Game Beer of the Week from New Belgium Brewing in Fort Collins, Accumulation IPA. Pick up selections from New Belgium or any of your favorite adult beverages and use the drive-thru open until midnight every single night. And I love this. Molly Brown Spirits from Denver. Bourbon whiskey and rye whiskey. That sounds actually really, really, really good for Thursday Thanksgiving, doesn't it? They're available at On the Rocks Liquor, only up here at On the Rocks Liquor. And I got to remind you about one more thing. On the Rocks Liquor is sponsoring our first ever, our first annual Brew Talk Awards show. This is cool, man. Check out the voting page at 1310kfk.com. Just for voting, you get a coupon to use it on the Rocks Liquor. So it's awesome. Go vote. Your favorite brewery, favorite new brewery, best beer, best name for a beer, best distillery, best seasonal, I think. Best seasonal beer. So check it out. It's a good way to support local breweries. 19 minutes after the hour, a lot to get to today. Zach Stevens will join us in the second hour. Clark Johnson, Preps Radio, what we have in store for you this week. Man, there's so many things, Colfax. High school football playoffs, Resurrection Christian Eaton on Saturday. My goodness, we're having it here. UNC men's basketball starts on Friday afternoon. We're having it here. More whole show, more than you can handle. All right here on 1310 KFKA. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. No Co. Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's The Hull Show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. You want to get at us, text us on our First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. Well, Colfax, before we get to the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend that was, I got a couple of things I got to tell you about. Going on until mid-December. You can stop by Red Wing Shoes. Red Wing Shoes, there's a location in Greeley and a location in Johnstown. Those are the two that we're talking about. Stop in and sign up. All you have to do, walk in the door, look for the sled by the register. There's a little KFKA sled. It's a tiny 3D printed sled. And you find the registration slip, sign up, fold it up, put it in there, and you have a chance to win. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to stand on your head. You don't have to do anything. And you have a chance to win a pair of boots valued at least $250. We're giving away two pairs of those, one from Greeley and one from Johnstown. So do me a favor. Stop by, register. Red Wing is a great supporter of the program. Glad to be with them again, but I want my hooligans to stop by and show them some love, show them some support. They're a great company. And I have a pair. I know Colfax has a pair. I'm wearing mine right now. Love them. And you will, too. Stop by. Take a look at some of them. I mean, maybe even if you don't win, put it on your Christmas list. That's Red Wing Shoes. Greeley, Johnstown. Go sign up today. No purchase necessary. And you could win a free pair of boots. It's pretty easy. There's no strings attached. All right, Colfax, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly from the weekend that was. The good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Well, the good for me, pretty simple. Denver Broncos find a way. They beat the Miami Dolphins 20-13.
Ahmed at the side of Fitzpatrick. Into the end zone and intercepted, picked off by the all-pro Justin Simmons.
Justin Simmons starting up the debate here today on whether or not you should pay the guy. Yeah, you should. He's good. He's really good. Saves the game. Justin Simmons comes up with the pick. Game over. Broncos beat Miami 20-13. All right, we'll move on to the bad here. Colorado State. We talked to Coach Medved on Friday. A couple hours later, we find out that the Rams paused due to a positive COVID test. It was announced on Friday evening. Colorado State University's men's basketball program will pause team activity through December 2nd. Due to two positive COVID tests within the program, the pause is effective immediately. These are the first two positive tests since the student athletes reported back in June. That's rough. So no game, obviously, on Wednesday for the Colorado State Rams. Well, the ugly, we were kind of liking the idea of hearing clips like these for the foreseeable future.
Grant got a 16-footer. That's good.
He's fielding it.
Grant.
Jump shot going tonight, man.
Grant again. Yes!
Wow.
Jeremy Grant, and that is a new season high of 26 points.
Jeremy Grant is a Denver Nugget no more. He got $20 million, not $16, $20 million to join forces with the Detroit Pistons. Denver was offering him the same amount of money, from my knowledge. I think at the end of the day, Colfax, he looked around. He saw, okay, Joker's one. Jamal Murray's the two-star. They want Michael Porter Jr. to be the three-star. Where do I fit in? It's an ego thing sometimes. Not necessarily about a championship. Jeremy Grant maybe wants to go somewhere where he can be more of a star. Well, congratulations. You go to Detroit. You can be the superstar. There. A lot of question marks surrounding the Denver Nuggets. That is the good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Here it is about the Nuggets, Colfax. Bottom line, if their plan with Michael Porter Jr., if he does take the necessary steps, then that's the biggest move of the offseason. That's the move. If Bol Bol takes a step, there you go again. If Zeke Nagy is somebody that, man, I don't know about this year, but down the road works out, then maybe this move we look back at and say, all right, maybe we're kind of glad it didn't work out. But you have some big ones. They did re-sign Paul Millsap. Plumlee's gone. Plumlee went to Detroit as well. But they got Paul Millsap for what, $10 million? For the year, for 1 year. That actually turned out to be a pretty big deal. I got to say it, if Paul Millsap can have a season, a decent season this year, Colfax, it's going to feel like he saved the Nuggets bacon. Seriously. I mean, it turned out to be a pretty huge move. He said it came down to a family decision. His family, he didn't want to uproot the family. Might have been able to get money elsewhere, but he didn't want to uproot the family. Likes Denver and decided to stay here. So, you know, I was ready to move on from Paul, but that was hoping that Jeremy Grant was going to be here. Paul Millsap, maybe he takes that personally and has himself a big-time year. 30 minutes after the hour, we're going to switch gears here, talking about a good cause throughout northern Colorado, Weston Edmonds of Weld Food Bank. We'll talk about that. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick. You're listening to my pal, Brady Hall. Check out the Hall Show on Northern Colorado's football station, 1310 KFKA.
Just 35 minutes after the hour, we are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Thanks for being with us here on the Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy, great partner here of the Hull Show, as well as 1310 KFKA, as well as Weld Food Bank, to be honest with you guys. Joining me now, Weston Edmonds, Communications Manager at Weld Food Bank. Weston, my friend, it is always a pleasure to talk to you, man. And I know this is always a crazy time. You know, we're asking folks to step up and help us out with some turkeys this year. But Weston, a pleasure to have you on the program, man.
Well, thanks for having me again, Brady. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So what's obviously everything is upside down this year. 2020 is absolutely nuts. What does that look like? How is that impacting you guys over at Weld Food Bank?
Well, pretty much since the beginning of COVID hitting, when we had that, I think it's third week in March when the kids went to spring break and they extended it and they just went further. We really haven't slowed down since then. In that time, we found that we've probably serving twice as many people as we normally do through all of our programs, particularly though our kids programs is where we saw some of our biggest increases. So, I mean, it was already going into this holiday season, which is always a very crazy busy time for us. It was already crazy busy, and it's kind of just been turned up to 11, at least these last couple weeks.
And Weston, talk to us a little bit about that back in March. You talked about that with school, the school situation, because obviously, you know, families, if they're struggling with businesses and how we're dealing with some layoffs and things like that. But with no school in session, no school lunches, and that obviously has to be something that really impacts what you guys do as well.
Yeah, so that was one of our biggest concerns when they said that kids wouldn't be going back after spring break, even that two-week period that we thought it would be. We're thinking, okay, how do these kids get meals? Mm-hmm. And then when that was extended out, we really started looking for ways to try to reach these kids. So we worked with some partnerships we have with Boys and Girls Club, and so we made sure that food could get delivered to those families. But then the district nutrition program really stepped up. We have a great relationship with them. And we partnered with them to combine our mobile food pantry with some other distributions, as well as our backpack program. So we made sure that that food was still going out to these kids and these families who really needed it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, a lot of people, and some people think about that, obviously, but there's also many people that don't. I mean, you hear a lot of folks talking about, you know, schools, with schools doing in-home and things like that. You hear them talking about, well, the social stuff's going to hurt, the learning might hurt. A lot of folks don't even talk about that, Weston, and again, that's why it's so absolutely important, because some of these families might not talk about it either. That's where they just rely so heavily on what you folks can do for them over at Weld Food Bank.
That's right. Hunger is a very well-hidden struggle that a lot of folks have, that you don't see them walking around and saying, wow, that person looks hungry. That person probably didn't have breakfast this morning. So it's something that gets hidden very well, and it doesn't get talked about. You're right. Not only by those who deal with it, but those who don't. It's kind of one of those silent, quiet issues that we have. Under normal circumstances, we have 1 in 5 individuals in Weld County who struggle to feed themselves. But during COVID, at least across the state, they're saying that 1 in 4 Coloradoans and 1 in 3 of those of children are going to face food insecurity during this pandemic. So it's a real issue that's affecting a lot of people, including right here in Greeley and Weld County.
Yeah, and a lot of those folks too, Weston. I mean, these are hardworking folks. You know, if you're new to this game, you come in and you start learning about hunger, you wonder, okay, who is this really affecting? These are hardworking families that are, you know, maybe choosing rent or food this month, and that is a difficult task right there. And especially now more than ever, where there are businesses that are, you know, are forcing to lay people off. You're seeing that in larger numbers. And again, it's not something obvious. You could see anybody walking down the street. You could talk to folks and they could have a smile on their face, but maybe deep down there's something else going on. And again, that's where we rely so heavily on what you guys can do over at Weld Food Bank.
Right. Yeah, you really touched it on the head there, that there is a misperception of what it looks like to, or what people look like who struggle with hunger. It's not what you think. We have 75% of the families that we serve through Weld Food Bank. Someone in that household has a job or recently had a job. Especially during COVID, we heard again and again folks who maybe they weren't laid off, but their hours were cut. Some of these small businesses where their income isn't hourly, it's based off of sales, and you don't have sales coming in. And all of a sudden, like you said, you've got rent coming due, you've got heating costs, you've got food and gas and all these other things that it just starts to pile up. So the work that we do, we're not going to fill a pantry and we're not going to be able to pay people's rent. But what we can do is help get people through those tough spots so that, you know, they can get a couple weeks worth of food, depending on what program they go to. And that's sometimes for a lot of these folks, that's the turning point that allows them to get caught up, to get ahead. So that they don't need our services for, you know, maybe a second or third time. But if they do, we're here for them. You know, if they need that help a little bit longer, we understand. I know personally, as when we were a young family, we were on food stamps, and there were times that my first paycheck, all but $10 went to rent. And so I had to wait another 2 weeks before my next paycheck came in. And so I know personally what that struggle is like. And so many families are going through that right now. So the support from our community is needed now more than ever.
We're talking to a great friend of the show's, Weston Edmonds, communications manager at Weld Food Bank. And again, your work never stops. We took the tour, I think last year was it, maybe right before everything hit. And it was eye-opening. It was amazing. And just to see what actually goes through the process there, how the food is sorted, and it just so many different things are put into it by a lot of great, hardworking individuals. Like I said, the work never stops. However, yeah, this is an interesting week. We're talking Thanksgiving. We're talking Christmas, not that far down the road. And this is another way where Weld Food Bank steps up because, you know, we want to do our best to help give a nice Thanksgiving, a nice Christmas to a lot of these families throughout the area.
Yeah, it takes all of us doing our part. We've realized a long time ago that we could be Weld Food Bank by ourselves and not be very successful. But when we're Weld Food Bank with the community, it's when we make really the biggest impact. So we've had amazing volunteers coming in. Even this morning, I'm working on putting together a short video of just our turkey distribution. So we got turkeys coming in, but turkeys are actually going out today through our agencies. So that they can get them to these families in time for the big meal on Thursday. But that takes volunteer time, but it also takes food donors and financial donors to make sure that we can do that. And if we tried to just do it on our own, we would fall flat. But thankfully, we have an amazing community who stepped up. We're inching in on 3,900 turkeys right now on hand. Well, not on hand, though we've collected. Like I said, turkeys are going out, but we're trying to reach that 6,000 turkey goal. Hopefully by Wednesday when the turkeys are still a good price, but we'll still be collecting them after that as well. If you have a busy week ahead of you, you buy that turkey but just can't get it to us before Wednesday, we're taking them next Monday as well.
So you're at 3,900, right? And your goal is 6,000. That's what we're shooting for. Weston, what about those folks that said, man, it's nuts. Life is crazy right now. I can't get a turkey, but I can donate cash. I can call. Is that still an option?
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, we talk about this every time I come on, that the cash donation is the biggest impact because of our buying power. So if anyone, you're right. I mean, we did our Thanksgiving shopping this weekend, but there's still a busy week ahead of us. It might be hard to get to us. So just going online, head to weldfoodbank.org, and you'll see a pop-up that comes up, talks about holiday giving. You can click there, or you can go to weldfoodbank.org/holiday. And we've got a full list of places that you can donate a turkey at. We're working with Wing Shacks. Weldworks has an amazing promotion as well. You can bring a turkey in, but we've also got a virtual food drive. So if you want more of that feel, since we couldn't do a food drive this year to help with that food drive feel, or just a straight donation. We've got all the links on that page so that you don't have to go clicking around our website. You just head to weldfoodbank.org/holiday, and we've got everything you need. And so when you do give $10, $20, that's 40, 80 meals that we're able to give to families in need right here in Weld County.
Wow. Well, so there's a lot of options, folks, and whatever that amount you can do, if you can help out, and I know even throughout the year, to volunteers, that's amazing too. I mean, that's something where maybe you are strapped for cash at this point, or 2020 kind of hit you too. You can contact World Food Bank and volunteer as well, because you guys are looking for help.
Yep. Half of our labor, we always tell people, actually more than half of our labor that happens is due to the generosity of folks just giving a few hours, sometimes a week, a few hours a month, that really helps us get it done. If we did not have our volunteers, we could not operate. It's as simple as that. So if you are looking for something to do in the new year, as the holidays are busy for all of us, we welcome that greatly, because really November, December, a lot of folks want to come in and help, but we're still open. I always tell people we're open January 2nd. We take the first off. So we're open January 2nd, and we're still feeding people, so we need that help. So just, you know, bookmark that. Keep that in the back of your minds if you're listening, that we do need volunteers throughout the year. It really helps us succeed.
Weston, what else do we need to get out there, man?
You know, I just want to say thank you. I know that we've got so many listeners out there, and this morning, it seemed like there wasn't a moment I wasn't sitting down and instantly popping up as folks are coming in to donate. So I just want to say thank you to Weld County. We really do take care of our own here. And I know it's been hard. It's been hard for a lot of us since March to just, you know, dealing with COVID and just the intensity of these last few months with politics and everything just piling up, that everyone here takes a moment to know that they can help, and they do help. And so we're just so appreciative to KFK. We're appreciative to you, Brady, for allowing us to come on and really get that word out. And we know that when everything settles, that every family in need this holiday season is going to be fed, thanks to the generosity of our community.
Now let's hit that number. You know, I want to hit that number. Yeah, let's get to that 6,000 mark and just help out. Because again, man, just like Weston said, a little amount can go such a long way. And if you're out and about, or what you're doing today, or anything, just think about Weld Food Bank as we go through this process. Weston, man, we love what you guys do. And anytime you want to jump on these airwaves, you just let us know. You guys are
Absolutely.
Always welcome.
I really appreciate it, man.
All right, my man. We'll try to catch up soon when things slow down, and we'll have our we need to start this anyway. Our yearly, who's going to be better, Nuggets or Avs? Let's have that debate.
Oh man, that's going to be a tough one.
I think we always end up just saying, you know what? Let's agree to disagree and just agree that the Rockies are going to be terrible.
Oh my gosh! I mean, if there's any truth, is that everyone dies, pays taxes, and the Rockies will be out of the playoffs by middle of the season. Those are three truths you can stand by.
Even if it's a 2-month season, they'll be out by the middle of that season, which is just a month. So yeah, it's terrible. Weston, man.
But you know what? It's a love-hate relationship, because I love my Rockies.
No, I hear it. We all do, man. It's a frustrating deal. We'll see what happens with Nolan. But Weston, again, weldfoodbank.org. I'm on there right now. You have that easy tab to get to holiday giving if you go that route. It's awesome. Weston, you guys keep up the good work. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
All right, that's Weston Edmonds of Weld Food Bank, weldfoodbank.org. Amazing individuals that work over there. We have had the honor of working with Weld Food Bank for a while, And I'm telling you guys, it's this radio station doesn't survive without community support, listenership, businesses supporting us. And then obviously we all support those businesses. Weld Food Bank is one of those businesses we work closely with. And, you know, they are growing every single year, but the need is growing every single year. 2020 has certainly grown that. And I do want to make that very clear. Sometimes people think of someone needing food or whatever as that, you know, that very interesting picture of just a, you know, a bearded homeless man with a beer in his hand. That's not the case. There are so many families that don't even use World Food Bank again. They use it that one time for that boost, and it kind of gets them through. They're able to accumulate the checks again and get going. And as Weston even said from him personally, and I mean, this is one of the hardest working guys you will meet. And he even went through a couple of those issues. And again, folks, check it out. Go to weldfoodbank.org. Every single year we have this ask of you. And a few bucks goes a very, very long way. 49 minutes after the hour. Colfax, let's look at what happened with the Nuggets over the weekend. There's some positives that we want to get to. And you know, even with Jeremy Grant gone, there's certainly some positives. We'll get to that. More Broncos Dolphins talk. We have a lot to get to on that side of it. Zach Stevens will join us from DMVR Broncos. All that and more coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Are you ready for some football? Monday Night Football is right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. Do you want to thank Mosier and Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service? Services as unique as life. Live well, plan ahead. Get ahead of the game there because it's all going to happen to us. You might as well give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today and talk to them about pre-planning. It's an amazing gift. Mosier works with FEMA and many of our nation's disasters. 9/11, what in NYC, Hurricane Katrina, the Joplin tornado. Their website is MosierFuneralService.com. Their phone number is 970-330-6824, Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. 6 minutes until the top of the hour. Still have Zach Stevens to go from DNVR Broncos, all things Broncos Dolphins info here. I want to get to that more because I think there's a lot to learn from Drew Locke, a lot to learn from, wow, it is really that simple. Just run the ball. Even when you're not satisfied, run the ball. You have the defense that can do it. You have that luxury. They have afforded you that luxury to stay patient with the run game. So that was good, man. I mean, 4-6. Denver gets the win. They got the Saints next week. Is Drew Brees going to go? Or is it Taysom Hill, who, I mean, played pretty well. I wonder how sustainable it's going to be over time, but he's very exciting to watch. As for the Nuggets over the weekend, the big news, of course, is that Jeremy Grant did not re-sign with the Nuggets. He re-signed with the, well, it was a sign-and-trade from what I hear. And again, we're finalizing everything still, but the Pistons get him and upwards of around $20 million. I'm told that the Nuggets were willing to just match that. But my guess is that, yeah, Grant looked around and realized he's not going to be the go-to guy. He's not going to be number two. And eventually he won't even be number three if he's not already. Because they have high hopes for Michael Porter Jr. So here's what happens for them so far. They got the draft pick confirmed with R.J. Hampton at 24th. 22nd, Zeke Nagy. I'm excited about him. I'm excited about both. Facundo Campazzo out of Real Madrid, Colfax. He's 29 years old. He played over in Real Madrid for 6 seasons, so he's going to be a little bit older. But the Nuggets signed him. They've had their eyes on him for a while, so he's coming over. He's a passing machine. I mean, wow. It might be really, really fun. I'm not going to get my hopes up extremely high, but go watch his highlights. If you're bored today, go check it out. Facundo Campazzo. I'm excited to see what he might be able to bring to this team. So that one's a nice move. Jamichael Green and, you know, a couple of other decent moves there. But you were able to re-sign Paul Millsap. So who's staying with the Nuggets, and how do, what do you know right now? Pretty much the same lineup, right? You got Nikola Jokic. You got Michael Porter Jr., Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, Will Barton. P.J. Dozier is still on this roster. Gary Harris, Monte Morris, Keita Bates-Diop, Bol Bol still there. And Paul Millsap re-signed with this team. So did the Nuggets take a step back? I mean, he was a part of their plan. Grant was a part of their plan. So how could you not think they didn't take a step back? They did. But could Michael Porter Jr. provide, could it be the whole one step back, two steps forward type thing if Porter can really step up? That's a big if, but one I think we're excited to see how it plays out. Second hour coming up next.